March 12th, 2006. You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 27.
That's a great thing.
His purple satin butt pants.
It's a vaccine. You don't want him to get sick.
Hey, everybody. It's me, the J-Strom. How you doing? Welcome to Mulberry, the cultural district of Mulberry. Here we have all these fancy buildings. We got restaurants, bookstores, comic shops, movie theaters, cultural things over here and over there. And I got Steven here on my left. How you doing, Steven?
I'm great today. How are you?
Apparently, I've done a line of coke before the show, and I'm all hyper. No, but seriously, it's great to have you back, Steven. You're here in the studio.
My cousin's a cokehead.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back. And I do want to mention something. Remember, I was talking to you the other day.
Okay.
I just want to talk to you about this.
Okay.
And coming through the airport, we looked at the magazine stand, and we mentioned a few weeks ago on the show, where's our flying cars at? Guess what's on Popular Science this
where
week?
The hell are the flying cars? Yes.
Popular Science. Somebody from Popular Science is listening to our podcast.
Hey, and they chose to put it on the cover?
That's
great.
The cover. So we got to find this guy.
And next month's issue of Popular Mechanics, we'll have Where the Hell's Bill? Popular Science.
Popular Science, Discovery, magazine was about science.
Just Omni.
Who knows
like
what
that.
It was.
Hey, who's that giggling? Who's on our show? Oh, it's Vanessa. Hey, Vanessa. How you doing?
I'm doing swell. I got some games, and I'm happy.
You little giggle box, you. Now, what kind of games you got, Vanessa?
I got the new game Black, the new Onimusha. And
oh,
I'm getting Kingdom Hearts
2. She said the new Minutia.
So, you've been playing a lot of video games and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Well, good for you.
Yay.
You got blistery thumbs and forefingers.
Yes.
I don't know what I'm talking
about. I'm very hurt.
Now, guys, last week was the Oscars, and we did our little Oscar picks. I mean, was there a more boring Oscars or one that we just didn't care about? We had nothing invested in. The Oscars says we didn't see any of the movies, but how well did we do in those picks, Vanessa?
Actually, I'm tabulating them right now because I had it down before.
Ooh, tabulating them. You got a fancy... computer there?
I had it all done and then...
It does not compute.
Now, guys, today was one of those days where my daughter, she had a birthday. Actually, her birthday was last week, but we had a birthday party here at my home. And people seem to think that I have OCD or something because I'm crazy and clean up after people. Do you guys think there's something wrong with me?
Yes.
I don't know if that's wrong, but it's a cleanliness.
There's
nothing wrong with being clean.
When you invite people over to your home, first of all, I want the house to be clean. I don't want it to be messy. I don't want people to come over and go, wow, slobs. Well, first of all, I'm not really a slob, but I clean up and I dust everything. I'm freaking psycho about that. I want to dust the guest bathroom, which we never use. I clean the hell out of it. Me and my wife, we clean the shower, even though no one's going to take a shower for the party. But we go nuts like that, right? And people come over, and it's all happy and everything. But as soon as everyone's here, I'm like, I can't wait till this is over so these people will leave.
I've been there, done that.
Well, see you later.
Because people are like, oh, ha, ha, ha. And they open the little trash thing, and they throw their drink, their cup or their plate, and they miss the trash can. No one even cares. They get chips on the carpet, and their little kids are running up the walls and climbing on things like monkeys, and no one cares. And, it's not about me, though. It's about my daughter having a fun birthday, right? And I understand that. But at the same time, I want these people to get the hell out of my house. I can't, I don't know what to do, I'm just saying, I'm being truthful, all right? And God bless my wife, she puts up with my crap, I mean, all I'm saying is I go, are you done with this? Okay, let me put this away for you. And I just, do I have OCD, or is something wrong with me, or am I just, I don't like messes?
You don't like messes, it's a mild OCD, if you will.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not,
and
it's
I don't
not
mind
something
a few
destructive
people,
or tormenting
right.
you.
But it's the kind of thing where if it was like, maybe half as many people, it would be a lot better. But it's like too many people show up. Or I don't know. I don't want to come off saying
you need to have this party elsewhere off site.
I appreciate everyone coming in and giving, getting my daughter gifts and stuff. That's cool and all, but I don't know. I'm just psycho. I am.
You need to go to McDonald's little playground. Yeah. And that way
call me sir, God damn it.
No, but I can't go to those places because germs. Germs are all over the jungle gym and all that.
And you really need to clip those long fingernails, Howard Hughes.
Huh? So.
Never mind.
This house is clean.
That's right. It is clean. Man, where'd he pull that crap out of?
And don't forget.
Pretty much just more foggy in general.
Now, okay, shut up.
Oh, Lord.
His head
and
gets
I have our Oscar picks when we're ready.
Okay, can I say something that's really funny, though? On the podcast Pickle, every day they do a profile of the day, right? Where if you're on the podcast Pickle, your profile may be selected as the profile of the day, and it's right there on the website, and people could look at your profile. 2 days ago, Vanessa and Steven, I looked on there, and Foggy was the profile of the day. And I thought it was so funny. Foggy's thing is just genius, by the way. Here, let me just call this up for a second, and I just want to make fun of Foggy for a minute because he has the most hilarious profile. Like, it's March 10th, all right? Now, here it is. General interests. Foggy's general interests are sex, nudity, Cinemax, self-pleasure, movies, DVDs, and comics. His favorite movies are John Belushi movies, Kevin Smith movies, and every sci-fi movie ever made, including The Last Starfighter. Now, this is even worse. Foggy shows you his true taste in TV shows. His favorite TV shows are Gastineau Girls, Baywatch Nights, Terradice, Beauty and the Geek, Smallville, The O.C., 90210, Dawson's Creek, South of Nowhere, which is one of those shows on The End, with Degrassi, X-Play, Party at the Palms, The Shield, G-String Divas.
I'm surprised Party of Five wasn't on there.
I know. His favorite books are The Zombie Survival Guide, which I'll hand it to him. That's a pretty good book, shows you how to survive zombies. Choose Your Own Adventure books, Dianetics, any Star Wars book, Playboy magazine, and Maxim. Those aren't books, Foggy. His favorite music are The Pogues, The Gourmet Scum, and The Faders. Ah, The Faders!
Gourmet Scum is a real group?
No, that's he's being...
It's from Degrassi!
Yeah. But the Faders, they sing that great song, No Sleep Tonight. So anyway, yeah. Congratulations to you, Foggy. Everyone can read your horrible profile. Now, Vanessa, how do we do on the Oscar picks?
All right, after tabulation, last place, no surprise, is me. Yay, with three correct. And here, drum roll, the winner, with only one more, with 5-4. Is Jason.
Yeah. Yes! I thought it was going to be Steven. Yes.
I missed two,
it was
I
close.
Think.
I annihilated you.
Steven and Jason both.
Crack
of
shit.
Actor in a supporting role. That's the one I got. and Stephen missed actress in a supporting role and animated feature.
Now, I did, I did get that Wallace and Gromit, but I knew for a fact, I knew that Rachel Weisz was going to win, and I knew that Reese Witherspoon was going to win.
Yeah.
And did you guys watch the Oscars and see her acceptance speech? Like, growing up in Tennessee, my grandmother always, was like, shut the hell up, get the hell off the stage, but...
I heard it was really boring. I mean,
I thought that Jon Stewart was really funny, and but you know, I wasn't interested. You know, it's hard to, and I just
it's hard when there was a movie you were interested in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just not interested. Now, all right, let's get on with the show, everybody. You ready? Let's do some entertainment. All right, guys, very soon a movie will come out that I would have been excited about a year ago, but now I'm not so sure, and that's because it's directed by Brett Ratner. And we brought this up before, Brett Ratner did such films as Rush Hour and Rush Hour 2. He's doing X-Men 3.
Right.
Which is titled X-Men 3 The Last Stand. Now, the trailer just came out this week. Before, we talked about the teaser, but now we have the trailer. And it doesn't look horrible, but, you know, trailers can be deceiving because Ultraviolet looked semi-good, but that apparently is the worst movie ever made. Now, let's check out the trailer. I'm excited to see it. And as long as there's no... Okay, you guys have to admit to me that Ian McKellen in every movie he's in says, "The war has begun." It's like, stop saying that! The war's gonna start next week. Just stop it. Stop giving Ian McKellen... If Ian McKellen picks up a script and it has something about a war in there, he's like, I'll do this movie, all right? Because I deliver that line perfectly.
I've said it so many times, I've got it down.
Or, the war has begun, or the war is ending. I got nothing. All right, let's check out the trailer to the Brett Ratner-directed X3, The Last Stand.
On principle, I can't negotiate with these people. Well, then you know what needs to be done.
Sounds good so far. Brett Ratner directed that so perfect.
Protect our citizens.
One out of how many?
You understand the words are coming out of my mouth? Oh, God, he put him in it?
The humans will draw first blood. And the air is still, and the night has fallen.
Ian McKellen's great in this kind of role, though, isn't he?
He must answer.
He's awesome.
Who will you stand? A major pharmaceutical company has developed a way to suppress the mutant X gene permanently.
Damn pharmaceutical companies, they're so corrupt.
Nothing's wrong with any of us for that matter.
You of all people know how fast the weather can change.
Apparently the X-Men are battling HMOs in the next one.
I'll never win.
It's a serious subject, you guys.
That's the drug company in Canada.
Yeah.
Logan!
Jeez, something woke her. But she has to be controlled.
You know, sometimes when you cage the beast, I can't do this. The beast gets angry.
The beast. Sometimes the beast has his own radio show in Seattle.
I have no idea. You have no idea what is upon us now.
Sometimes the beast eats tossed salad and scrambled
this
eggs.
World has never witnessed.
You say he likes a tossed salad
and scrambled eggs.
Lena's got an army out there. You got a war. You might not come home. She might not come home. You ready for that? We're not kids anymore. Hey, I'm not your father.
Directed by Brett Ratner.
It's time we make our choice. If you're with us, then be with us.
They wish to cure us. And I say we are the cure.
The war has just begun.
Are you sure it's not Brett Ratner's fault? It might be the editor's fault.
We can make it like glass.
That's true, yeah.
Stay with me.
I think it's Jackie Chan's fault.
No,
stand.
Ooh, X3, The Last Stand. I don't know. I think they just sold a ticket. What do you think, Vanessa? Are you excited about it? You're a big fan of the X-Men movies, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you care who directs it, or are you you're going to see it no
matter
what?
Yeah, I mean, think about it. If you Bull directed it, I would avoid it like the plague, but it's just one of those...
If you Bull directed this, a war would begin, because I'm going to raise some hell over that.
Well, think about this. How much pressure it must be on him that he has to come in and step in those shoes and try to take over a blockbuster like that and try to keep it going, so to speak.
The main thing, and you know what's sad about Brett Ratner is if this movie does fail, which I don't think it will. I think it'll make a lot of money. Everything I've read is the studio Fox, 20th Century Fox, has been so demanding to get it out for this summer that it's been so rushed that if it's a failure because of production things, it's not necessarily his fault.
Right.
It's the fault of being very demanding and needing the movie done. You know, we need it this summer. Oh, come on. We need a blockbuster. And a lot of times, studios shoot themselves in the foot because they don't think about crap like that, and they don't care. All they care about is opening weekend numbers.
They could have waited six more months and had the nice Christmas
Yeah,
rush.
They could have had... If the movie turns out, hey, you know, that was... You know, X3 isn't bad, but it seems kind of sloppy in some parts, and if they only had, like, a few more months to... get the editing right and stuff, and I'm afraid something like that's going to happen. After X3 comes out, we might be saying something like that. I hope we're not, you know. Did they really have to cast Fraser Crane as the Beast? I think Niles would have been much better. You know, there might be something like that.
That's possible.
But we'll wait and see what happens. But right now, guys, let's check out what's on your TiVo!
All right!
Now, guys, I want to talk about The Apprentice, but first, I saw Donald Trump on The View, and please, hey, Steven, put the gun away, all right? I don't watch The View. I was just flipping channels, and I was like, oh, Trump's on there, and he was there with his daughter, Ivanka, who I don't think is hot. She looks like looks like somebody shot Ivana Trump with a... You know, a young ray, like a Fountain of Youth
young
laser
ray.
Gun. She's not really hot to me, and she seems kind of full of herself. She's very intelligent. The Donald has pointed out to us that she's gone to college, and she's very intelligent. But listen to what the Donald says about his daughter, and I just thought it was kind of creepy. If my dad said this about Vanessa, I'd be like, dude, you need help. Now, check this out.
There'll be nude photos.
Right, you do assume
misleading.
That with Playboy.
Okay, if there weren't, you wouldn't have an issue with it, then. If they were using her to...
I don't think Ivanka would do that inside the magazine, although she does have a very nice figure. I've said that if Ivanka weren't my daughter, perhaps I'd be dating her. You know?
Stop it! Oh, it's so
what the hell?
Stop
it!
You know what?
You're sick.
I bang my daughter. Why not? I'm the Donald. I can get away with it.
Who are you, Woody Allen?
Oh, that crazy View. Those bitches on The View.
He just got this saying, if she wasn't my daughter, I would date her.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Yeah, it's like, well, Dad, if I wasn't your daughter, I would not date you because your hair looks ridiculous.
But I mean, how does
I'm the Donald. Everyone bangs me if I say so.
But how do they even compare that to Woody Allen? Because it's not
It was just
daughter.
A really bad joke. You know, it was a... You know, the women on there, oh, man.
She thinks she's witty, but it wasn't witty.
Yeah. So anyway.
It wasn't well thought out.
The Apprentice this week. We saw last week that lady with the curly fry hair got fired for not shutting up. This week, they have Team Gold Rush and what's the other one called?
Synergy.
Yes.
Energy.
This week, the Donald introduces his daughter Ivanka, and she's going to sit in along with that guy who won the very first ever Apprentice. And
Bill Rancic.
This episode is all about text messaging, And the Donald yells at them about text messaging. And it's the new Gillette razor that you keep seeing commercials for, Steven. The Gillette Fusion.
Yes.
You know, the commercial that looks like some big budget sci-fi movie, and it turns out to be a razor.
And I had to buy it.
Oh, you bought one?
Yes.
Oh, how's it working?
It worked on me. The ad worked.
Sucka.
Oh, the ad worked. Did you text message them or whatever?
You know.
Okay, let's talk a second about Brent, Vanessa.
Now, oh, Lordy.
Brent is the disheveled guy who's all sweaty and looks uncomfortable in his clothing. And apparently no one can stand this guy. Because there's this great part where, is he on Team Synergy this week? Yeah, he is.
I think so.
And he's trying to talk about all of his stupid ideas on how to get people to text message. And he gets in this little argument with this chick on there. I believe her name is Stacy.
Uh-huh.
And I have a clip of this, and this is really hilarious. And what's funny is he's like, she keeps cutting him off. Okay, Brent. Let me talk. And he's like, no, listen to me. You know, yeah, I had an idea. You see?
She was being rude.
She was being very rude. But then she's like, he stuck his hand in my face. He was threatening. And she's full of crap.
Yeah, and then later on she retracts it. All and she then could... goes back and says it again.
Yeah, let's check out this clip.
All right, Happy. The other thing is,
I was trying to come up with ideas, but my team doesn't know how to handle me. I stand out from the crowd. It's the way it's been my whole life, and I'm proud of it.
You're going to have to wait another minute. I'm in the middle of something. You're going to have to wait.
I decided it was in my best interest to excuse myself and just speak to Stacy and confront her and let her know, you know, you better stop cutting me off because I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to stand for it.
Stacy, you've been cutting me off the entire time, and you got to stop doing it, or I'm going to start doing it in front of the entire crew. Now listen,
over.
I'm going to do it during the project.
Excuse me, I need some team support. I just got confronted by Brent outside with a finger in my face,
ooh,
telling me that I'm aggressive and basically pushing up into me.
Pushing up into her, I love that.
It's like,
Brent is dragging our team down.
He punched me in the spleen, you guys.
And I won him out of here.
You guys had a confrontation.
What?
Yeah, I was confronted by Brent in a threatening manner, yes.
What I said, I stand by. There was no assault, there was no battery. As an attorney, Stacy should be embarrassed and ashamed of herself. If you're going to treat me like a piece of crap,
at least
you better be prepared
flush afterwards
to get a response. You can't take the heat. Get out of the kitchen.
Oh, cliche.
Stacy is making something out of nothing.
A mountain out of a molehill? Come on.
I'm not trying to cliche, physically please. Confronted by somebody.
And you know what? He was right. She was totally making a mountain out of a molehill, as Steven said. She was like, he was pushing up into me, but he had a right to complain. And you know what? His mistake was he pulled her aside. He should have done it in front of everyone.
Tried to do it professionally first.
Yeah,
exactly. And then she tried to make an ass out of him by saying he did all this stuff.
Right, and he should have done it in front of everyone because she turned everyone against Brent. They chose a horrible location to get people attracted to text
messages.
And
they wore robes?
Yeah, and you know, she was like, maybe we could wear robes. It looks like we're going to shave. I don't understand what the robe thing was about at all.
It was that other guy.
Like you're fresh out of the shower and that's when you shave.
Yeah, it was the black guy. I forget his name. But yeah, that was a horrible idea. And Trump even goes, this is the worst idea in the history of The Apprentice or something like that. But what's funny about this is that...
this is the worst impression.
Hey, damn you! No, what happens is it's so funny that you could see Ivanka show up and she's like, oh, robes, interesting idea, okay? And before I get to that part, the day where they need to go and get the text messages, they're all asleep. And the other team, Team Gold Rush, has already left. And they've already started getting votes in this prime location. What was it, on Broadway or something, where everyone goes? It was right where everyone gets tickets for the Broadway shows.
Yeah.
So there's all this traffic of people walking, and they got all these votes or whatever. So they wake up, and they get going, and they're already late, and they're not attracting any attention. It's a disaster. No one cares that they're in bathrobes.
People are running, trying to get to work.
And Brent guy, he's like, I know, I'm gonna work my magic, and he's like, I'm gonna do the robot, and he starts doing the robot like, hey everybody, check me out, and he's like, zzz, zzz. And people are like, what the F, and he's like, come on, you know you want a text message, he's like, zzz, zzz. And he's doing, and it's like, oh my god, and Ivanka's like, well, he's got a lot of energy, doesn't he? Like, trying not to sound mean at all, but... And he's like, come on, everyone! And he's, like, banging on his chest. He's got wearing a sign, you know, like, hey, do, you know, text message. And everyone's like...
What's the text message got to do with anything, though? I mean...
Whoever gets the most text messages that are interested in the Razor will win the task.
Okay.
And instead of people giving Brent kind of props for attracting attention and getting some votes, they're all like, he's got to go.
I know.
And so when they get to the boardroom, they lose horribly. They get slaughtered by the other team.
Oh, and he's like, half?
Whose fault is this? And they're like, well, the Donald, it's Brent's. He's just a cancer to our team. He upset Stacy so much that we took hours to deal with it. And it's like, no, 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 that's your fault. That's not Brent's fault. And I'll admit Brent is like annoying. A mess.
Yeah.
And he's a disaster and his ideas are horrible and he's sweaty and disheveled and his hair is horrible. There's this great scene where it showed him doing his hair in the mirror and then it looks like he just gives up, like, screw it. But here's who gets fired.
I have to start off by saying that in real estate, location is very important. And Stacy, you picked the wrong location. And to be honest, if you can't handle Brent, you can't handle my business. Therefore, Stacy, you're fired.
Oops.
Take that, bitch.
What about Pepe? Or Pepe?
Michael, you have great potential. I think you did a terrible job. But I'm going to let you
That's
stay
the guy who picked the
for another task.
Yeah.
If you do it again, you'll be fired so fast your head will spin. You did a terrible, terrible job.
I won't disappoint you again.
Brent, you are a
disaster. Tell me how you really feel, Mr. Trump.
I don't think you'll last long, Brent. In fact, I'm pretty sure you're going to be going very quickly. But the team leader didn't lead. You lost the respect
of
various
people
within the team.
He's already my favorite guy on the show.
And Pepe, I have to say, you also are fired.
I didn't even mention Pepe, but he's the guy who pretty much tried to pin everything on Brent just to kind of...
save himself.
Thank you very much. Go. Go, sir.
And I love Ivanka even says, Brent's a disaster, but this isn't his fault, you know.
Yeah, she was actually pretty smart.
She's got a good head on her shoulders. I'm Mr. Trump. I'm the Donald.
I would date her if she wasn't my daughter.
I'd stoop her if she wasn't. Oh, hell, what the hell? I'll do it anyway.
I would frack her.
Now, anyway, that's The Apprentice. Can't wait to see what happens next week. Now, Vanessa, before we move on to 24 talk, you wanted to kind of talk about trading spouses. Now, what's going on with trading spouses on Fox?
Okay, they take this one mother from, you know, this well-to-do family. Their kids are perfect. They're both playing classical piano. They play hockey. They have to win at everything. And then they trade with this other family who were I can't put this any nice, but they're white trash.
Right.
And totally hard to look at. And they talk about how they love to have sex with each other and you just want to vomit.
Nice.
Yeah. They even have a pet turkey, which...
They have a pet turkey?
Yes, named Clyde. Okay, so
right turn Clyde.
And this well-to-do mother goes to this white trash family, and the funniest scene happens. The turkey gets run over by a car.
Oh, man.
Okay, gets killed. So they're eating dinner. She goes, wow, that was really good. Well, how'd you enjoy your Clyde sandwich?
Oh, my God, he cooked her turkey for dinner?
Yeah, and he told her. And she goes, oh, my God, I just ate roadkill. And the thing is that he's like, well, you know, I love Clyde. He's like a member of the family, but it's fresh meat.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And then the other mother, who looks like a troll.
Uh-huh.
She is the most bizarre person. She has this thing with people taking their shoes off. I don't get it.
Taking their shoes off anywhere in the house?
Even out in public.
Now, she looks like a troll, or does she look like a gorgile?
Gorgiles!
A gorgile troll.
Okay.
Well, now the white trash family, they make their living off of collecting nuts in a big nut sack, and they sell them. They sell them.
I actually have a clip of that. Let me check it out.
To bring in the material that we got from the hippies and turning them into giant nut bags.
Oh, wow.
What the hell? I don't even understand that.
I like that they collect material from hippies.
Now, is he talking about it while strumming on the guitar in that scene?
I guess so. But, yeah, when the first mother, the white trash mom, I'll just call her white trash mom, she meets the other guy. She asks him to take off his shoes, and he's just looking at the look on his face. He's like, what did you just say? It just bizarre. And the kids are trying to avoid her because she's so strange.
All right, let's play the clip of the crazy feet lady.
New man. It is a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you. Well, let me grab your stuff. We'll put it away.
If you wouldn't mind, I would like to be able to share something with you.
Sure.
My husband sent me with these slippers because I'm really scared of bears.
You're scared of what?
I'm scared of bears.
Bears?
Uh-huh. I'm starting a new life this week. I am starting it with bare feet.
Okay.
Would you mind taking off your socks and shoes?
Taking off my socks and shoes?
Yes, sir.
For driving home, you mean?
No, just for right now.
I really prefer not to.
I have a great deal of respect for my partner.
Thank you.
And that's really important to me. And so I'm cool with that.
Thank you. Well, let me grab your stuff.
What the hell? She wants him. Why does she have bare feet? He got her.
She has bare slippers. Like, looks like, you know, bare feet on her.
And she's afraid of bears?
Yeah.
Does that guy live in the woods?
Yeah, no. He lives in a big city.
What does that have to do with bears?
I don't know. She says bizarre crap like that all the whole time.
Oh, my God.
And they have a second part next week, but just watch it.
Okay. We'll check that out. I'm very confused, but how about we check out some 24, you guys?
Let's do.
Oh, yes. Sweet 24. Jack Bauer Power Hour. Yes, sir. This week on 24, Kim returns. Kim Bauer, played by Alicia Cuthbert. What's funny about this is that she shows up with, I don't know if it's her boyfriend or what, but it's C. Thomas Howell, Steven.
Awesome.
And he's like 20 years older than her, and he looks old. He's got wrinkles. This is not Pony Boy anymore. Right?
Pony Boy. He didn't stay gold, that's for sure.
Well, what's funny is, Jack, let me talk to your daughter. It would be really weird if you just walked in and she thought you were dead all this time. So he's like, okay. So instead of her being happy, she's pissed off that he's alive. And when he goes in to talk to her, and she's like, how could you do this? You didn't trust me. And no, don't hug me. You know, stay away. And C. Thomas Howell's like, yeah, how could you treat her like that? And he's like, who the hell are you, dude? You know, Jack Bauer's about to kick his ass. Meanwhile, This is the best part about this. You know, Lynn, Samwise Gamgee, a while back, he went out back of CTU and was going to give his sister, who's a drug addict, some money, and her and her boyfriend kick his ass and take his wallet, which had his CTU ID in it. Meanwhile, her boyfriend, I don't understand this part at all of the show, but somehow he's gotten in contact with the terrorists who are going to buy the CTU card off of him. How did he get in touch with these people?
How would he even know about it?
I don't know. And he doesn't know. He's an idiot. He's like, I'm going to sell this for 20 grand. This card right here, it's got a 20 grand credit limit on it or whatever. It's so funny.
It'll wind up getting him killed.
And yeah, Lynn, Samwise, tries to call her and says, I need my card back. And she's like, can't we just give my brother his card back? He goes, no way, man. We're selling this puppy. And you can get as much coke as you want.
Agreed.
So meanwhile, cut to them tied up and gagged, and a second later, they're shot with a and he shoots both of them in the head, execution style. So meanwhile, Buchanan goes in to talk to Lynn and says, I have some horrible news here. You know, Lynn's in custody still. And he goes, your sister has been killed. And he's like, oh my God, I bet it was her boyfriend. Her boyfriend was involved. He's like, no, we found him gagged and shot in the head next to her, and they were killed execution style. We think it was a professional hit. And he's like, oh, crap. Okay, I'm kind of going out of order here, but Jack Bauer goes to Peter Weller's house, and he's going to intercept him.
RoboCop.
There. Yeah, and Joe Beth Williams, the great Joe Beth Williams in such movies as Poltergeist, is his wife. And she's there doing the dishes and stuff, and Jack shows up. And he's being real mean to her, like, sit down on the couch! I'm going to go on his computer and hack into it! And he's like, what is the password? And she's like, I don't know, Jack! He's a great guy! And so Peter
is RoboCop.
Peter Weller shows up, and Jack pins him down. He sits him on the couch. He goes, you're going to tell me what I need to know, or I'll shoot you in the leg. And he goes, go ahead and kneecap me, Jack. That's not going to stop anything. I can't tell you anything. So he's like, oh, yeah? And he turns to his wife and he goes, shoots his wife right through the leg. She's like, ah! He's like, God damn you, Jack. He goes, now you're going to talk. I'll shoot her again if you don't tell me what I need to know. And he goes, I'm sorry, honey, I love you, but I can't tell him anything. And he's like, you bastard. So even though he's shooting his wife, he's not going to say anything. She's like, I'll just take you to CTU and torture you. And I thought that was a genius scene when he shoots his wife in the leg, didn't you?
Yes.
So anyway, while this is happening, he shows up and he's torturing Peter Weller. And, you know, Kim shows up. The terrorist guy arrives and he's reprogrammed Lynn's card to show his face. And he enters in with this case that doesn't look that big to me, but it turns out he's brought one of the canisters of gas with him. And he sticks it in the ventilation system.
I thought you were going to say he brought a midget in.
Yeah, he's got a special... He's got a midget with a bomb strapped to him. And that's little people to any of our tiny listeners out there. Yeah, I don't know, but it was ridiculous. So when Lynn...
There's a big sign, put gas here.
Yeah, Lynn finally tells Buchanan, he goes, oh, by the way, my card got stolen, and I put CTU at risk. And he's like, oh, now you tell me, but it's too late. There's a guy in there. And I love this. The guy... This was a great scene, though. The guy lets the gas loose, and Jack kills him, but it's way too late. The gas has started releasing. And he's like, everyone get out, everyone get out. But you see people running out the doors, and you see him dropping dead all around, and it's too late, the gas. And Chloe's like, there's only like 3 rooms where the gas isn't at. Let's go to the conference room. Meanwhile, Edgar, the kind of chubby IT guy, he went downstairs to see where the one chick went who went to investigate, and she's been killed. And he's like, oh, my God. So he runs out. So anyway, you kind of forget about Edgar.
God.
So, C. Thomas Howe, Kim Bauer, Kim Raver, we've got Jack. They're all in the conference room, sealed up. Everything's fine. And they're just like, okay, we're safe. And all of a sudden, you see Edgar walk in. And he's like, hey, what's... And they're like, oh, my God. And you see Chloe. She's like, Edgar! And here's a clip of what happens. It's very sad.
Chloe...
Poor Edgar. Oh, he's choking to death. It's horrible. Heart-wrenching scene. And he's dead. He's a zombie! And he resurrects from the dead pretty much immediately.
That's a nice body drop noise.
Yeah, you gotta love Foggy. So anyway, Edgar's dead, and it was a really sad scene. He almost gives Chloe a scene like... He looks at her in the eyes. She's in the glass, and she's like, oh, my God, Edgar. And he's like, Chloe? And he gives her a look like, I've always loved you, and then drops dead. And did you notice after that happened, Vanessa, and I love when they've done this before on 24, the clock counter runs out, but it does it without the sound effect. It's like... And it's like, oh, Edgar!
Fat ass!
So, you fat ass. Poor Edgar. That guy didn't get paid enough for this crap. And remember, last season, his mom died at the hands of terrorists, and this time he dies. So, pretty much...
At the hands of terrorists.
It sucks to work at CTU.
Stay away from Jack.
I know. It sucks to work at CTU.
See, Keeper Sutherland coming your way. Get the hell out of there.
But I thought that was a great scene, and next week is going to be about them trying to get out of CTU with the gas, and... And I believe they did the one of them will die.
Uh-oh.
Which they love doing on Fox. Let's go ahead and get into Battlestar Galactica. Alright, the season finale of Battlestar Galactica. Remember the last episode, Starbuck and all of them, they went back to Caprica to pick up Anders and all the people, and they got pinned down.
Or Stud.
Yeah, they're pinned down in this episode still, and they're kind of holed up behind a rock, and they're...
Kind of like a half-blown-up building or something.
Yeah, there's like a hole in it or whatever, and they're peeking out, and about 12 hours later, they decide, screw this, let's go look. And it turns out all the Cylons are gone. And all of a sudden, Dean Stockwell, Brother Cavill, shows up to bless them all, which I thought was a really weird scene. It's like, right then you realize, this dude's a Cylon, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't know that, because he's on the Galactica as well.
Right. So meanwhile, back on Galactica, the whole election day process is happening, and you've got Roslin and, Baltar. And it looks like the numbers are not looking good for Roslin, the preliminary votes and such. So her assistant says, don't worry, I have a backup plan. Meanwhile, Callie has just got her jaw wired shut, and she looks jacked.
She's beat to hell.
Yeah, and the chief shows up, and you can tell he feels horrible, and she's like, I forgive you. And he's like, don't forgive
me. You can't forgive me.
Yeah, you can't forgive me. I did something horrible. She goes, no, I forgive you. I care about you. I've always cared about you. So
that
was a nice scene, I thought.
Yeah.
It was very emotional. Good stuff. They have a reporter talking to the rest of the fleet that, you know, it's a controversial decision, but Galactica's handling the vote counting. And you see that Duala and Colonel Ty are involved in this scheme to rig the vote for Roslin to win, right?
Right.
Correct, yes.
But Gaeta, that bastard, he's a little too nosy.
Bastard.
Gaeta's
too honest.
Yeah, he's really good at his job, and he discovers that there's something wrong with the votes because there was a typo before, and now there's not. Eventually, he tattletales on them, and they decide, you know, what are we going to do here? We can either let you win, and we'll always hate ourselves, or we let Gaius win. And she says he was with a Cylon before the...
Before the initial attack.
Yeah, before Judgment Day happened. You know, at that point I went, oh, okay, let's fix the election. Why not? You know, this guy is obviously, and he's like, can you prove it? And she says, no, I had the vision while I was dying. Which I thought was, who cares? You know, that's good enough for me. You know, doesn't he trust her?
Scandal.
And she even says, I was right about the Tomb of Athena. I was right about Kobol, and I'm right about Earth. They fix the election back. You know, he says, don't even ask any questions. You're the president. And he's like, I'm gonna
look into this.
And he's like, no, if you're smart, just shut up. You're the president or whatever. And I love how he's like, go to New Caprica immediately, which they're calling this new planet. We're going to settle there right away. And he goes to visit Gina, the lovely Gina, which we haven't seen for a while. He's like, we're all going to New Caprica to live. And she's like, I'm not going. And he's like, yes, you are. And she's like, no, I'm not. And it's like, what the hell? And he's about to leave, and then she decides to have sex with him. Which,
yeah,
why would anyone be attracted to this guy? I don't know. But
I think he's cute.
Really? This is interesting news. Vanessa is in love with Baltar, just like Six is. So anyway, they show her sitting naked, which the Six model does a lot. She likes
being
naked. And she blows up Cloud 9 with the nuke. How crazy was that?
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
I thought the explosion was awesome, and I was like, Cloud 9, damn! That was like the coolest ship because it looked like daytime inside the ship. And
it had the garden inside.
Yeah, that's where everyone apparently goes to get laid and get drunk, too. So
the party ship.
And also, I was thinking about this when it blew up. Remember, that's where the girl was. Apollo was banging, who had the little girl. Do you think they were on the ship at that point? Yeah, they're all
different. What's her name?
But they took out other ships, too, as it blew up, too. The shockwave. When they arrive back from Caprica, everyone's fine. Anders is there. All of a sudden... Dean Stockwell gets out of the ship, and the chief recognizes him. He's a fracking Cylon! He tackles him, and they throw him in the brig. And I love, this scene was great, where they bring Brother Cavill in there. It's like, what are you imprisoning me? I'm not a Cylon! I'm not a Cylon! And then he sees him, and he's like, oh, well, okay. And he sees it, and he goes, sorry, brother. Sorry to give you up like that. And so there's two of them sitting there. That was a really funny scene. But what's interesting, what he tells them, is that the Cylons have lost interest in them. They're not going to pursue them anymore. He's come to deliver a message that the heroes of the Cylon, Six and Sharon Valeri, have persuaded the Cylon leadership that trying to destroy the humans was an error. From now on, the two civilizations will live apart in peace. So, all of a sudden it says, 1 year later. And were you like, huh?
Yeah.
What the hell? And they're all living on New Caprica, and
it looks cold,
and everyone's living in tents. It looks horrible.
It looks like a mining town.
Although Starbucks,
the president's always drunk and hanging out with
looks
like prostitutes.
Yeah,
he
Uchis.
And you see that his presidential ship is just landed on the ground. It's just, he's living in his ship. And what I, Starbuck looks great with longer blonde hair. I'll say that.
She looks
much
feminine.
And she's yelling at Anders because he's got pneumonia and
he's playing basketball or whatever the pyramid game is.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, he's playing the $25,000 pyramid. So all the, you know, what I thought was interesting about this episode, when it's kind of showing what everyone's doing, it reminded me of the miniseries, how it introduced everyone.
Right.
This is introducing what everyone's doing a year later. Rosalind, she's teaching school again, and she's with the lady who took baby Hera, the Cylon baby, and named her Isis. The chief is head of the unions. The unions of what? I don't know. Are the guys building
working
crap?
Unions, yeah. It would have to be.
And Callie is his wife, I guess, and she's pregnant.
She's pregnant.
And that's another thing. Starbuck is married, which I never thought she would be. And what the funniest part where I laughed out loud is they show Adama just all alone with the XO, Colonel Ty. And he's got a mustache. It's like, time has passed, you guys. I have a mustache. And I thought that was so funny. I was like, he has a mustache. That shows it's a year later. You know?
And he grow a mustache in a year's time.
Yeah, I thought that was really silly. Because they did, earlier in season two, they showed flashbacks and Adama had a mustache. It's like, all right, when he's not as important about his job, he grows a mustache or something. So he's telling Colonel Ty he doesn't need him anymore. They just orbit the planet. It's boring. Go down and be with your wife. And he doesn't want to, but he decides to. And he really should have stayed on Galactica.
Yeah.
As soon as he gets down there, he's like, man, this place sucks. And Doc Cottle tells Starbuck that her husband has pneumonia. He's a fluid in his lungs, and it's not good. He needs to stay, you know.
Needs bed rest, and he needs some antibiotics.
Yeah, Doc Cottle has an endless supply of cigarettes, too, by the way. I don't know where he gets them. He must roll his own or something.
Dubage.
And they show Apollo. He's on the Pegasus orbiting the planet.
And he's chunky.
And he looks like he's all out of shape. His hair's disheveled. He looks a lot like Brent on The Apprentice. And he's up there with Duala, who's his lieutenant. And you know what? I have a clip. I've been meaning to play this clip. It's kind of encapsulates all the different things that happened. Let's check it out.
Admiral, I believe that Colonel Ty is involved in a conspiracy to rig the election for President Rosman.
You tried to steal an election?
Yes, I did. And I got caught.
I'm going to sign my first executive order, requiring the fleet to immediately establish settlements on the planet we have come to know as New Caprica.
Yeah! He has fluid in the lungs. It's probably pneumonia.
So give him something.
I'd love to. I've been out of antibiotics for months. Make him rest, keep him warm. With a little luck, he'll make it.
Picking up something on Dratus.
What is it?
Oh my gods. It's a Cylon fleet.
Judgment Day.
I'm Gaius Balthar.
I know who you are, Gaius. I know very well.
I surrender.
What do you want to do now, Captain?
Fight him until we can't.
So what happens there is the Cylons find them. And it turns out that when Gina blew up Cloud 9, it left a radiation signature that the Cylons discovered and followed it.
Remember when the number 6 in Baltar's head was telling him that there's God's plan for him, that he's supposed to win the election, they need to settle on Caprica, that he needed to give that nuke over everything. That was all a plan. Remember they always say that Cylons have a plan?
Right.
Well, their whole plan is to make us their make the humans their slaves, because they wanted to do to us what we did to them. So now all this happened for a reason, that the whole him giving the nuke was influenced by the number 6. It's all kind of coming together now that you see what they were trying to do.
Right.
So they're trying to make everyone think that, oh, we're going to leave you alone. We're going to leave you alone so that everybody will settle on.
They even think they're safe there because of that nebula that you can't. Uh-huh. There's all this static and stuff that the Cylons will never find them.
Right. And that's why that number 6, Gina sets off the nuclear explosion to let them know, hey, this is where they are. And then they bring them all in full force to come back, wait till they're settled. They're kind of out of shape, out of, you know, out of practice.
You know, what I... During the whole episode, tell me if you guys thought this, I kept thinking, is this really happening? Is this... Right. Is it going to flash to, oh, this was all a dream, or this is what Rosalind and Adama were thinking... They're kind of talking it over. Maybe this could possibly happen if we let him win. And I kept thinking that it would go back to that, possibly.
Right.
And when it ended on that cliffhanger with the Cylons showing up and they're all screwed. Oh, and let's not forget that Dee, when she discovers this, Apollo and Commander Adama are like, let's get out of here. And they go away. And he goes, we're going to leave now, but we'll be back. And all the ships jump away. So they're safe.
Right.
You don't know where they went. And there's not enough people on either of their ships. They don't even have their crews anymore.
Yeah,
but
on Vipers or anything.
I kept thinking, even until the end, this isn't really happening. It's going to go back. We've got to wait till friggin' October, by the way, which I thought it was going to be August, but October. Do you remember when they're on Caprica, ooh, Boomer says they're going to send in gas. We're all going to wake up somewhere. And I kept thinking that that's what they're going to do. They're going to wake up somewhere, and none of this had happened. They think that they landed back on Galactica, but I don't know. I might be overthinking it, but I can't believe they cut to a year later. That's just what I'm saying. It seemed kind of crazy, some kind of weird. It was just a weird season finale. You know what I'm saying?
I thought it was.
So you think
great.
Something from the from?
I was getting into it when they showed them on New Caprica, and they showed them all struggling. They show them in a new human way, like Starbuck, and she's yelling at her husband who won't stop playing around. And they showed the chief in a new light, and he's like a leader. He's a born leader. And they showed, I love seeing Rosalind teaching the kids. It was cool how everyone found their place, and you see what a loser that Baltar is. And even
right.
when Six shows up, she's like, I know who you are, Gaius. And you realize that's the model that he fell in love with, and that's actual Sharon Valeri that shot, you know, Adama.
Well,
those are the hero Cylons, and they had the Kevin Spacey Cylon also. I'm just really confused, you guys.
So
truthfully,
you're thinking that the scene where they think the Cylons have left, they've been gassed at that point, and everything is a dream. Upon,
it's possible. I kept thinking stuff like that
upon that issue.
And it's almost because as soon as the conversation is over between, and he tells Gaius, "You're the president now," and all of a sudden it cuts to a year later. I was almost thinking either he's thinking about this could possibly happen if we do settle there. But I don't know. It's a cliffhanger. But think about this. Do you remember the cliffhanger in the middle of season 2 to 2.5? It showed the Pegasus ships going at each other and Galactica's, and they were going to go into like a dogfight. It was like, oh crap, what's going to happen? And then beginning of season 2.5, and Starbuck shows up, and hey, let's call it off. And it was like that. And I keep thinking something like that's going to happen with season 3. But I don't know. I could be wrong. I might be overguessing this. I'm just confused. So, yeah, I definitely could not have predicted what would happen. But I definitely, it's a great show, and I'm not going to say I love the finale. I'm just more confused than anything.
Yeah, it left it like wide open for a whole lot of things to happen.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely got them out of space and changed like the whole direction of the show. But one thing I'll say about this, what it did show is what happens when they just gave up on running and trying to get to Earth. That things...
Which was the worst thing they could have done.
Yeah, they don't look happy on that planet. Everything's screwed. Everything's stagnant. People are getting sick. They're running out of things. And it shows what happens when you get sloppy. And you have no
right.
direction anymore. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in October.
Yeah, I mean, this technological society is reduced back to... This, almost
they're
the,
living in friggin'
almost
tents.
The Stone Age, you know.
And there was
yeah.
that scary part with the crazy Cylon. I think his name's Leoben. He's like, is Akira
uh-huh.
Thrace here? It's
yeah.
that creepy Cylon from season 1. And she kind of grew rapport with him. And Andrew's like, what? Dude, who the
well,
hell
remember,
are you?
He said he knew her. So I'm wondering what's going to happen with that. We still don't know what that scar was about. I thought she'd be pregnant on this one, but I guess
yeah,
not.
I don't know. But anyway, that's crazy.
Stay tuned to next season.
Vanessa, before we do the news, I just want to say today is Sunday and The Sopranos is premiering, and I'm very excited. And I hope you, everyone, tags Sopranos. If you've never watched it before, just check it out. You may like it, and we'll be talking about it on weeks to come. So check out the Sopranos. Also, that new Bill Paxton show called Big Love, where he has multiple wives, is premiering. I'm going to check that out. I don't know if it's going to be good or not, but
yeah,
I'm
that's
check
a
it
weird
out. Idea.
Yeah, but we'll check those out. And Vanessa, you ready to do the news?
Who is your daddy?
All right, Vanessa, what do you got in the news this week?
All right, in Sao Paulo, Brazil, prostitutes in the Brazilian city of Salvador are starting up their own radio station.
Awesome.
The Association of Prostitutes of Bahia.
Association of Prostitutes?
Yes, they have their own association. Has won government permission for the project, enabling FM station Radio Zona to start broadcasting in the second half of the year.
I'm there.
We are not going to apologize for prostitution, but we are going to struggle for the dignity of the profession. Boy, is that the opposite. The aim was not to attract women to the business. The station will feature programs about the trade, but will also discuss issues such as human rights, social questions, and sexual abuse.
End of story.
Of course, prostitution is widespread in Brazil, especially in Bahia State and other parts of the impoverished Northeast. International rights organizations have criticized the country as a destination for sex tourism. I don't know what the hell.
Can I just say this about Brazil? That place is whacked out. That place is jacked.
I've heard it's pretty nasty. But
yeah, it's got Rio, where everyone's walking around in thongs or whatever, but also they got areas where kids are killing each other and sniffing glue. And
like Detroit.
Yeah. Yeah, Brazil is basically Detroit.
Yeah. In Berlin, a 67-year-old German man who drew his dead brother's pension for 26 years after taking on his identity was unmasked after police stopped him for driving without a seat.
Oh, brother.
During checks, it emerged that just after his death, the man assumed the identity of his older brother, who has been resting in peace in Regensburg Cemetery since he passed away in 1979. Thanks to the physical similarity between the siblings, the imposter pulled off the switch by renewing his dead brother's passport.
Genius.
But he continued, to use his real name on occasion. There's his problem. Police uncovered the ruse because of records showing the younger man was wanted for repeatedly failing to settle a minor bill. Although the car, his driving license, and other particulars were made out of his brother, the man's surname aroused police suspicions and he eventually confessed to the scam. Police said he likely netted at least about $120,000 American dollars.
Nice.
So many criminals are caught by stupid minor traffic violations. It's always like, oh, they got pulled over for a broken taillight.
Yeah, it's like a serial killer. They'll pull him over for a broken taillight, and it's like, it looks like you got some bodies in your trunk. He's like, damn it, why didn't I fix my taillight?
Yeah. Ted Bundy, didn't know how he got caught? He got pulled over for something?
I believe so. Traffic stop.
Correct the mundo.
All right, in London, North Wales police couldn't believe their eyes when a camera at a notorious accident spot caught a driver using both hands to put her makeup on.
Hey, was that my wife?
Yeah. Donna Maddock, 22, was filmed as she drove along the A499, one of Britain's most dangerous roads. She held a mirror in her left hand.
Did you say her name is Donna Maddock?
Uh-huh.
Cool like name.
She held a mirror in her left hand and an eye pencil in her right, leaving the steering wheel to itself.
Nice.
Wednesday, she was fined 350...
Funny, Foggy.
She was fined 350 American dollars with 55-pound cost, which I don't know what a pound is.
How much
worth.
Is that in rubles?
No 5 clue. Million.
In rupees.
Yeah.
And it's 6 penalty points added to her driver's license after admitting careless driving at, I can't even pronounce this, Quelly Magistrate's Court. Huh. A car is a dangerous lump of metal in the wrong hands. You need to be in control at all times. And Miss Maddox's actions beggars belief. A police spokeswoman said the camera had been set up because of the large numbers of collisions and deaths on that stretch of road. But, so she got caught. She didn't. She was just pretty much letting the car drive itself as she put on her makeup.
Yes, yes, and yes.
Now, was she hot? I mean, does she look good in her makeup? Maybe it was worth it. You never know.
You never know. I don't know. They don't have a picture of her. And finally,
that's a great thing.
Mexico is deploying an army of inflatable sex dolls dressed as objects.
That's wheels off.
In a head-turning publicity campaign aimed against workplace harassment of women in the famously macho country. Timed to coincide with the International Women's Day on Wednesday, the advertisement shows sex dolls with staring eyes and gaping red mouths dressed in suits and sitting at computers. No woman should be treated like a sexual object. Sexual harassment is degrading and it's a crime, says a voiceover at the end of the television ad, which shows a man walking past one of the dolls and casually stroking her shoulder. Machismo runs deep in Mexico, where it is common for men to have mistresses. Some even set them up in a second home.
Women, hey, where are the white women at?
Women generally earn less than male colleagues and have fewer opportunities for promotion. Inappropriate behavior towards women in work situations is also not unusual. So basically they're going to try to, you know, stop this with inflatable dolls dresses. Executives? I don't get it.
Neither do I. This their idea makes no sense at all. I'm like, huh?
Struggling.
I mean, what? They're like, yeah, hey, we're macho guys, but hey, look, we got all these sex dolls in the executive suits. We respect you. It's like, huh? Couldn't you just respect me instead of waste?
They don't respect, even though they're wearing executive suits. They right. still don't respect.
That's a great thing. Well,
Steven, no, it's not. How could you say that?
Well, Vicente Fox, the Mexican president, got in trouble earlier this year because he made a joke referencing women as washing machines with two legs.
Wow. Now that is a sexist statement.
That's yeah, wheels thanks. Off.
Yeah. Well, well. Look who it is. Hi, bitch.
And that's all I've got.
Wow, that was the news? Well, thank you very much, Vanessa.
Anytime.
Now, I have to tell everybody this week that we're kind of doing a short show because, Steven, you got to get going on an airplane, bud.
Big surprise.
Big surprise.
Thank you very much for finding the time to do the show. I mean, you just came back into town from Frisco.
Hello, Frisco.
And now you're heading out to La La Land, L.A., back to the Celebrity Scientology Center. Oh, where are you going this week?
Nope. Back to Frisco.
Oh, hell yes.
Hello, Frisco.
Exactly. I don't think Foggy ever wants you to go anywhere else. Now, okay, guys, I just want to say this before we go. I'm sorry. I keep forgetting to get in the chat rooms on Friday nights. Friday night chats, you guys.
We need to change it to a different night. Because
Saturday night chats?
Saturday would be better.
But I would get home on Friday, watch BSG, and then, like, go to sleep.
And, I know. We're old.
Yeah.
See, I was flying back in, and I didn't get to watch BSG until the second show.
Right. Well,
when we were supposed to be on the chat. So I'm right. trying to catch up.
But anyway, I will start being on Friday nights, and Steven will work you in somehow.
Let's try and do a Saturday night one, too.
Yeah. Okay, this is to our listeners. Saturday nights, Friday nights, sign on, see if anyone's there. We may be there. And it'll be happy times.
So I'm traveling on Friday, so it kind of sucks for me. So
right. But
if anybody even gives a crap about talking to me, I can go there any time of the week.
Yeah, Vanessa, get on right now. If you're listening to the show, get on there. Vanessa's on there. And
well, they could all listen to it at a different time.
That's what's great about podcasting. You can listen to it anytime you want.
Now, you have to be there all day.
And Vanessa will be there all the time.
Steven, I miss you. Stop going to Frisco. I'm glad you're in the studio again.
I've got two more weeks, and I'm done with Northern California.
And I want, like, if anyone listened to last week's show and you heard a through the whole show, that's Steven's fault, okay? I just want you to know that.
That's that stupid wireless in the hotel.
Yeah, he's on Wi-Fi doing the show, so, you know, we don't always have perfect sound, but I hope it was listenable. I hope you guys enjoy that. And just so everyone knows, my cat bite. It's getting much better. I'm almost done taking my antibiotics.
It looked worse than I thought it would. I thought it was going to be a puncture, and it was like this gigantic scrape-looking thing. I don't know.
It's Vanessa, that is. It's better than it was last week, okay? It's that you saw it getting better.
Are you going to try and do any DVD release real quick? Or
I figured we'll skip DVDs this week because you're in a hurry. You know, I don't know what's coming out. You know, just buy a DVD, everybody. Everyone go out Tuesday, buy a DVD.
Read your Best Buy catalog.
There is one movie, the George Clooney movie, Good Night and Good Luck, that comes out Tuesday, and I do want to watch that. I do want to see that. It looks really good to me. So I'll check that out.
Awesome.
Now, guys, if you'd like to call us and leave us a voicemail,
we've begged
Eugene,
and pleaded all this time.
Gene Starkiller, if you want to call in, no one else is. Go to 1-206-202-3491.
Even if it's to Vanessa.
Yeah, you know, if you want to send a phonic love letter to Vanessa, you could get in the chat room with Vanessa Jean. Okay, go to nimpodcast@gmail.com and leave us a email. Or go to nowhereinmulberry.com and listen to our show. I got nothing. Got a big bag of nothing. But if you want to go to the podcast pickle and check out Foggy's profile, you can do that too. He's a genius. Guy who knows what he's doing. I got nothing. I really have nothing.
Skip to the end.
Now, thank you, Steven. We need to get you on that airplane.
All right.
And
I need to go pack.
Vanessa?
Yes.
Love ya. And
love
we'll
you.
Talk to you guys next week. We'll see you in October for Battlestar Galactica.
I think you did a terrible job. You did a terrible, terrible job.
Kiss my ass!
Now this is podcasting.